This morning I want to reflect on creativity in our community, and it's really a teaching of appreciation for how our creativity is supported in this community. The passage of Isaiah, which is one of the lectionary scriptures for today, is a reminder that the writers of the Bible were creative. The passage has images to depict the glory of God. The wilderness will burst into bloom like a crocus, and the version that Stephanie read, like a rose. When God comes on the scene, those who have been disabled will leap like deer, and streams will gush out of what had been the parched lands of the desert, where jackals had once lain. Grass and reeds and papyrus will be able to grow. These images stir our imagination much more than if the writer had just said flatly, God's coming is something good. I understand that Eighth Day takes its name from the title of Elizabeth O'Connor's book, The Eighth Day of Creation. The idea is that after God created the world in 7 days, we humans become co-creators with God for the continuing creation of God's dream. So it seems appropriate for us to talk about our creative potential. How do I see members of Eighth Day being creative? Creativity is in the videos Eugene makes with action figures. It's in Addie's drawings that she makes at Duke Ellington School. I see explosive creativity in the performances of Ben in Sanctuaries, which calls itself a diverse arts community with soul. Creativity is in Helen's sense of style, in the way she fixes her hair, and in how she selects jewelry to spruce up an outfit. I see creativity in the salad that Dixie invents. It has beets, grilled vegetables, goat cheese, a grain that is like canola but isn't, and it tastes delicious. It's in the lighting, minimalist furniture, and visual art that Emily selected to make the Potter's house seem spacious and welcoming. It's in the songs that Connie and Kent write and sing. Creativity is in the questions that Gerald asks about the universe. It's in the deep-throated singing of Karen and me. It's in the rhythms that Mike plays on the drums. Creativity comes through the stories that David Hilfiger and Ann Barnett have published about putting medical knowledge to work to help poor people. Creativity is in the actions of civil disobedience that Eve and her companions revive to speak to power. It's in how Gail searches out new locations from year to year where we can have a vacation as a community. And I was just thinking of more on the way. You know, I was thinking of Jenny and her photos of the polar bears and her concern for the environment, and I think this is just really a short list. So I'd like to share with you my story of coming to appreciate creativity, particularly reconciling my creativity and faith. And as many of you know, I was raised as a Mennonite. And in that tradition, creativity, at least in the form of many kinds of art, was not universally welcomed when I was a child. Certain kinds of creativity were accepted, like making quilts, furniture with elegant lines, but Mennonites didn't call that art. Art was sort of like a bad word. But things were changing while I was growing up. My mother had taken a course at a Mennonite college on the fine arts from a pioneer musician in the Mennonite church, and Mom had become someone who appreciated art. Actually, this woman, she's like in her 90s now, but she had been told by the church she shouldn't pursue playing the cello. And she went on and got a PhD in cello. I mean, she did her own thing. And she stayed in the church and was a true leader in bringing the arts. Okay, so my mother appreciated art, not my father. About the time I was born, a Canadian Mennonite named Rudy Weed wrote a novel called Peace Shall Destroy Many. It was controversial because it showed the hypocrisy of some Mennonite practices and views, including pacifism. Even in its title, Peace Shall Destroy Many, it's not exactly an advertisement for peace. around in what they consider to be airing one's dirty laundry in front of the world. Because of the opposition, Rudy Wee had to resign from his job as an editor for a Mennonite newspaper. However, one of the more open-minded Mennonite institutions, Goshen College, snapped him up as an English teacher. I remember when I was a teenager, my father criticized the novel because he said it took all the problems of the Mennonite community and put them in one book. Well, isn't that what novels do? I thought at the time, but I wasn't yet brave enough to contradict my father. Over time, appreciation of literature and art has become a big part of my life. I majored in English in college. Actually, my father gave me that suggestion to major in English. And he recognized that in me. And as a college student, I had a short story and some poems published. I still love literature. As a teacher last year at Wilson High School, I brought 6 authors and 2 filmmakers to my classroom to talk with students about their work. I consider it to be a great perk of teaching to meet all of these artists. Yesterday, at the National Book Festival, I listened intently to one of my favorite authors, Marilyn Robinson. She's a master in creating characters who didn't grow up going to church, but feel compelled to know more about God. She attends a Congregationalist church. A hall in the convention center was packed with hundreds of people, maybe even, 1,000. The interviewer observed that Robinson is a very rare writer in that she writes about prayer in novels. And Robinson observed of her own work that one of the characters in her book, what she called a creative pastor in a small town in Iowa, is unusual in the world of fiction, which usually makes fun of any religious leader. I admire Robinson because she so adeptly draws on both her creativity and her faith. Recently, I attended a gathering where a Mennonite poet spoke who teaches at Mennonite College. His name is Jeff Gundy. He reflected on how many artists still leave the Mennonite church. He implied that the church still doesn't welcome artists who are critical of the tradition. But if a church denomination, a church anywhere, loses all its artists and critics, he said, it is left with all the boring people. Also, he asked a question that stuck with me. Can't God handle creativity? Or, I guess, can't God handle criticism of the church? Of the way we do things, traditions?
Amen.
This summer, I wrote a personal essay that focused on the harm caused by patriarchy in the Mennonite church and also my immediate family.
Wow.
My father was patriarchal, and although my mother and siblings and I loved him very much, we all feel a bit more relaxed now that he isn't with us. Right after my father died, my mother cut her hair for the first time in her life. She had always worn it long and wound up in a bun. She said she had kept it long for Dad, and since he had passed away, she could make a change. And I'm also feeling more empowered to write about my family, my Mennonite heritage, both its good parts and its bad parts. I went to a writer's workshop in Taos, New Mexico in July, and I got feedback on the essay I'd written. I improved it, and then I shared it with my mother and my brothers and my sister. My eldest brother sent me an email. He wrote, I see more and more clearly with time the evils of overbearing religion and spiritual abuse. You, there, women, have done well in tenaciously holding on to your individual identity in the face of relentless accusation of being irrational.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The character of God extends far beyond the reach of our reasoning abilities. I bless you all to discover the joy and freedom of fulfilling your unique identities. Please bring it to my attention if I treat you in a condescending manner. I want to live by the truth that in God's valuing of humankind, there is neither male or female. Even if my essay is never published, I'm encouraged by the interaction that sprung out of it in my family. And I was just thinking too, when my father was ill and we downsized everything for my parents, we children took on different roles in the family, mainly because it was so hard. We had to do what we were good at. And my youngest sister really became like the executive of the family because she's the most organized, and she kind of ran things. And my eldest brother, you know, deferred to her on a lot of things. So it's kind of like things were shifting. As well as creativity, using creativity and telling personal stories, I'm interested in how it is applied in working for social justice, a goal of Eighth Day. I recently read the book, The Other Wes Moore, by Wes Moore. It's about Wes Moore reflects on how another young man named Wes Moore took a life that was very different from his. One Wes Moore ends up in prison, and the other Wes Moore is a Rhodes Scholar. The author wrote about how visiting South Africa helped him realize the power of creativity. He said, "I learned about the music of the apartheid era and how it was musicians and artists, even more than the politicians and activists, who informed the world about the country's injustices." NPR had a report about artists who are helping the public to identify with migrants who cross the U.S.-Mexico border. These artists create art from the objects left behind by the migrants in the Arizona desert. Alvaro Enciso makes art from discarded tuna cans. Many migrants apparently eat tuna on their journey because it's easy to carry and high in protein. Another artist, Deborah McCullough, makes visual art from toothbrushes left on the ground. And she said in the NPR interview, people would say, "Well, do people brush their teeth?" And she was like, "Well, wouldn't you brush your teeth if you're on a journey?" She said that when people see the toothbrushes, it humanizes the migrants. Mm-hmm. When Mark and Marcia and Mike gave a report on how the problems of the people of Detroit are being ignored by most people in the nation, mm-hmm. they pointed out that the artist community in that city has brought attention to important issues. In addition, I've been thinking about how people are exercising creativity in schools, and I want to be part of that movement. I'm excited about my new teaching job working in the International Academy at Cardozo. Almost all of my students are migrants from Guatemala, El Salvador, or Honduras who have slipped across the U.S. border. Mm. 75% of them are boys. Many of my students dropped out of school in the elementary grades in their home countries to work. I have one student from Eritrea who is 18 and apparently never went to school until last year at Cardozo. He's just begun to read, and he came last week to practice with me during lunchtime. It takes every ounce of my creative power to figure out how to connect with my students and help them acquire English so they can have good jobs here. They have a new life, whether it's a good life or a bad life, depends on a lot of things, including education. One of the teachers I just met at the new school, Stephen Donkin, has written a novel. The book contains a conversation about creativity between a young teacher and a retired DC teacher named Malcolm. The young teacher has just told Malcolm she's impressed with the creativity of a musician named Allegri. Malcolm challenges her to think of creativity broadly. He says, "Remember that creativity can be more than making things. We can spread beauty through the world with our acts, too. Take this Allegri. Now, he made beautiful music, sure, and he became famous for it. But what about the people in his life who helped him out, gave him the support and nurturing that allowed him to make beautiful music? I don't know if that would have been his family, teachers, neighbors, wife, whoever it was. There had to be some people who performed acts that helped him out, that allowed him to create his music. And who's to say those unknown acts didn't enhance the beauty of the world as much as his music? Such acts at least must push back some of the ugliness of the world. Don't you think? That's what was in the novel. It teaches science. I like this way of thinking, that we can all be creative, even if it's mostly appreciating the creativity of others and supporting them. I encourage us to be creative in thinking about how we can use our creativity. I'm thankful to be part of a faith community that values art, criticism, and creativity.
Well, amen.